My name is Dandy. I'm a senior marketing product manager in the SQL Server marketing group. And someone's cell phone is interfering. Don't let that marketing term in my job title distract you. I'm also a certified master on SQL Server, so we can do a lot of things around SQL Server. Here at the event, I run the database track, so if there's any session you didn't like or any session that was like your top favorite list, let me know because I'm responsible for bringing the presenters and the sessions to the event. Okay, so bring you that entire agenda. So why upgrade? Why would you, what's wrong with this picture? There is, yeah, this could be like a SQL 7, right? Okay. Or a SQL 6.5, or even sooner or earlier. Now, have a closer look at this picture. What do you see in there? I hear something. Someone said, I see an ashtray. Okay. Are you local or did you travel in? Okay. Where did you come from? Did you take a plane or did you come? Yeah, okay. Did you have an ashtray on the plane? Ah, did you have something that looked more like this? It's the same thing, right? It's just, it's traveling, but it's basically traveling in a different time frame. Okay? Now, back in this time frame, people were asking for features that they needed at that time. Okay? They wanted to have a nice table. They wanted to have some nice flowers on there, too. I flew in from Seattle. I didn't see any flowers. Okay. My salad was about the size of a flower, but I didn't see any of that, okay? And I didn't see any ashtrays, which means that feature sets and functionality will change over time. And it's that feature sets and functionality that you have to be careful for when you start upgrading, when you go from one edition or one version to the other. So that's going to be very important, okay? So going back to this picture, you see we have a lot of features in there, okay? And I would say this was quite comfortable, and this is probably the most comfortable I could travel now. But 20 years ago, that other thing was probably the most comfortable. And why is that? It's because of customer demand. It's because everyone in the room and your customers and the businesses you run requiring and having the need for that change and that new feature set. Okay? There's no ashtray in this. Why? Because that's a feature that's no longer allowed. That's a feature that we call deprecated. It no longer exists. Okay. So when you do an upgrade with SQL Server, from one version to the other, you will see that a lot of new features will become available. Okay. I hope that that display, when Windows 8 releases, that's going to be a touchscreen, and I can just move around or whatever, right? That's functionality I want to have in maybe a service release or whatsoever that might come out. But there's functionality that we no longer need that is deprecated. And that's going to be your pain. It's going to be this time frame of adoption with your applications and so on. You have to be careful to actually do that upgrade. So some of you upgraded, I assume, from SQL 2005 to 2008 R2. Or from 2000 to 2008 R2. Is that a correct assumption? Could you raise your hand if you upgraded and did that upgrade yourself? Okay. So I see quite some hands going up. Could you put your hand back up if you had upgrade challenges? I see two hands going up. Okay? Wow. So what are you doing in this session? It looks like you did the upgrade all right and everything worked nicely, so I'm done with my talk. We're going for drinks now? Some of you were probably gambling when they did that upgrade, okay? And that's exactly what we're going to be diving into. Now, why are you going to upgrade to SQL Server 2012? I always refer to my wife when I do presentations, and because it looks nice and it's new, is what she would say, because it's better than the old version, okay? No, it's to prepare you for the future, and it's to prepare you or enable you with capabilities that will allow you to scale and functionality that you didn't have in the previous version. Okay, things like virtualization. Now, I think some of you have been to my session where we were doing demos and combining always on, and you went to sessions on column store indexing and so on. And when you upgrade, you have to keep those capabilities in mind. If you have a transact SQL functionality that is enabled within SQL Server 2012 or 2008 R2 and you upgrade it from SQL 2000, maybe you're not using the most efficient way to take advantage of the features that are enabled in the new version. Okay? I'm thinking about some of the new transact SQL functionality, for example. Okay? We introduced with SQL Server 2012 and transact SQL, we have something that we call sequences. Okay? That's nice for the folks that migrated from Oracle now. Probably in the past when they migrated from Oracle, they had to do a workaround to have that same functionality and have that sequence functionality that we now have in SQL 2012. Okay? So think about that because that's going to be very important. Now, when you upgrade, it's important you have a methodology. I'm going to step back here. That was a funny buzz, isn't it? That was to create the factor and get your attention. You need to have a landscape. You need to know what your boundaries are, and you need to know what your area is that you need to cover. I met with a customer a while ago, and we were talking about upgrade scenarios with SQL Server, and I asked him, so how many instances of SQL Server do you run? If you know how many instances of SQL Server that you run within your organization, your company, could you raise your hand? Okay. There's a lot of people that don't raise their hand. Maybe it's because it's Wednesday, last session of the day. Or maybe because it's hard to determine and hard to find on what that landscape looks like. Okay. That customer specifically, they said, I think we have about 10,000. But I don't know whether that's instances or databases or servers. Okay? How are you going to identify when you upgrade how that landscape looks like? So when you identify your landscape, you need to get an advisory and a suggestion on what am I going to upgrade? Are you going to upgrade every single database, every single server? Or are you going to the level where you're just going to upgrade a specific database or a database application associated with that? Okay. If I go back to that airplane, that nice picture, unfortunately, I have to leave some people behind in this room. I cannot all upgrade you to that new functionality there, right? So you have to make some compromises on what you're going to do. So the compromises you're going to have to make are based on compatibility and the capabilities you have or the capabilities you need within a previous edition of SQL Server. In that perspective, if you upgrade it and you just said, oh, you know what, let's run SQL setup on top of the other SQL server that we have, you probably did what we call an in-place upgrade. Okay? You have an existing instance, you upgrade it by installing the other one on top of it. If everything worked nicely for you and your applications continue to work, and that's the only thing you did, you're lucky. We're lucky we're not in Vegas with this event, because what I would say is go to the casino because you might get lucky there too. Okay? This is about how doing upgrades right. So you need to have a strategy in place on how am I going to do that, but you also need to have a strategy in place on how am I going to get back. What's the size of your database? Is there anyone that runs more than 5 terabytes in the room? Okay, a few hands. Anyone that has more than 1 terabyte? Okay? Only a few hands. So most databases are smaller. Okay? So I assume that most of you, that if they need to have a return strategy, they could go to their local computer store, buy a hard disk, and say, from an entire production system, I'm going to take an image, and if everything fails, I'm just going to restore that image, and I'm back to what it used to be. Okay? That could be part of your strategy. It could be part of your upgrade strategy. Consider doing that. Okay? Because it might be that if you do an in-place upgrade and you're going to replace an instance with one of the others, and then you turn out that your application doesn't have that functionality anymore, what's going to happen is, boom, you can't go back. You cannot revert. Okay? It's upgrade. So that means if you have a 2005 and you upgrade to 2012, and you take a backup of that 2012 and you try to restore that on 2005, it's going to fail. Okay? There's no backward backup compatibility. It's always moving forward. Okay? The future is forward. It's part of our SQL Server marketing campaigns. Okay? Wow, I mapped that. Should ask my manager for a bonus on that one. So then you're going to do the actual upgrades. And so when we determine that landscape, you have a couple of options. I talked about in-place upgrade. You look at an existing instance. You replace it. Now, within this time frame, where a lot of people are still running on 32-bit and they want to move over to 64-bit, okay, you can't do an in-place upgrade at that point. So what you're going to do is we're going to do what we call a side-by-side installation. Now, that side-by-side doesn't need to be that, like what I have here in my setup, two machines sitting side-by-side next to each other. Okay? It could be that I use the same infrastructure, I use the same hardware, or it could be that I have brand new hardware that I want to move to, but the concept is I'm taking my user databases from one server, and I'm going to run them side-by-side as part of my upgrade process. Which means at some point I'm going to flip the switch and say, now I'm going into production on the new platform. Okay? We'll have a look at that. And then there's a couple of things that we're going to do post-upgrade, right? If you go back to that airplane, you can't smoke anymore. What are you going to do? You're in that comfortable seat with that nice TV and the remote control. Maybe you should start drinking. It's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to look at that new functionality and start drinking. Okay? Use that new functionality. Why would you not use features like X-velocity column store indexing if you have that feature now available and we already showed you throughout the week that that's going to give you incredible performance when you're reading data? Okay? Why would you not, if you're using database mirroring, anyone? Okay? Few hands again. It's nice to see that all our features are being used. So database mirroring, why would you not upgrade that to SQL 2012 and then take that mirror and upgrade that to always-on availability groups? Okay? And create multiple readable secondaries with this. Okay? Why would you not stop the smoking and take advantage from the drinking and the nice TV that you have in front of you? Okay. Now, we're going back to that initial defining the landscape. And for that landscape, we have a tool that allows you to do a lot of things. Anyone running non-SQL Server products in that environment? Okay. Should I ask which ones? Does it have the color of your shirt? Does the product have the color of the shirt? Okay. Okay, Oracle. Now, we hear that a lot of customers want to migrate from non-SQL Server platforms to SQL Server. Okay? That could be Oracle, could be MySQL, could be Sybase, could be whatever, and they want to get rid of it. And I forgot to shut down my cell phone. Sorry about that. Let me just do that real quick. So that's why probably the audio stuff is coming in. So you have a non-SQL Server platform, and we can identify that for you using the map toolkit. Okay, so we'll be able to scan, we'll be able to find that out, and we'll be able to identify whether that could be an upgrade candidate. Okay, and we have the tools that will enable you to do so. Now, we're not going to talk about that, but I am pointing those out. We have a tool that is called SQL Server Migration Assistant that allows you to take MySQL, Oracle, Sybase. It looks at the schema, it even looks at the procedures and the packages, and it translates those into Transact SQL. A lot of companies might be running Microsoft Access as their database because that's the way they built their front-end application with it. I can use that same tool to move from Access to a Windows Azure SQL database and still keep the Access front-end. But I'm running my data in the cloud, that I can take advantage of the reporting services capabilities and so on. Now, what's that map toolkit doing? The map toolkit is identifying and scanning my network for SQL servers. And I'm going to show you on how that actually works. Let's go and have a look at this one. And magically, I get a display. So the map toolkit is a free tool that you could download. Okay, and the download link is listed. So I'm going to run that map toolkit, and one of the things that it will ask me to do is to create a database where I'm going to store that inventory. Now, we could run a session just pure on map toolkit. And we have Peter sitting here in the room, who's actually one of the program managers that works on the map toolkit. And I bet you he's monitoring that I say everything correctly about the map toolkit. Okay? Isn't it right? So map toolkit is currently in its version 6.5, and it does so many things that you're going to love about it. It's going to create an inventory, and it's going to give you a report. Peter told me not to forget to mention that map toolkit 7 is currently in beta. And it does even more things, like identify what's going to be your licensing features or licensing capabilities that you have with SQL Server 2012 and do that optimized. Did I say that correct, Peter? Okay, you're buying me a beer for that, right? Thank you so much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an existing database where I create my new inventory database. Now, what I actually did before... How many of you have been running around here with laptops and SQL Server and connected to the wireless? I'm not going to show you the report. I want to maintain everyone's privacy in the room. But there's a lot of SQL Servers out there that still have SA as a blank password. Okay? Or SQL Servers that I could just identify. Okay? In order to be respectful, I'm not going to do that. In order to be correct, this is just an assumption that I scanned the network. Okay? Just to be fair on that one. So I'm going to hit OK. I have a database that I'm going to connect to, okay? And then I could go to a couple of things here that I have available. So the map toolkit goes way beyond just identifying SQL Server. What I can do is I can look at servers. I can look at virtual machine discoveries, okay? How many of my servers in my infrastructure are running as a virtual machine? Or I can look on how many databases do I have. Is that database a SQL Server? Is that a Microsoft Database Consolidation Appliance? And can I run metrics on that? Or I can discover MySQL. I can discover Oracle. I can discover Sybase. Now, what I can do here is if I go into those Microsoft SQL Server, what I will get is I will get a nice report that's going to show me which versions and editions of SQL Server that I'm running. One of the reasons I use that map toolkit is to do things like identifying here, I'm a bit off today. Okay, I failed on just making a simple drawing in school. That's why I got into databases. I'm going to use that in presentation skills best practices. I like this one. So I want to find out how many SQL Server Enterprise Evaluation Editions am I running? Okay, because those Enterprise Evaluation Editions will expire after 180 days. And then people are surprised that, wait a minute, SQL Server is down. Yeah, evaluation copy expired. Has anyone ever had that situation? I do it all the time, and the reason I do this all the time is because I don't like installing SQL Server using a graphical user interface. So I install it from the command prompt, setup.exe/feature=SQL engine/instance name=name of the instance/server account=name of the server's account, the password of the server's account, /I accept SQL Server license terms. And then at the end there, I'm already tired and I forget to do the /PID=, and put in my product key. Okay? If you run the SQL Server installation bits on the SQL Server that you have the box and you have the DVD and you start installing, that's exactly what happens. You have the option that even on the product that you bought, you say, I want to install an evaluation copy only. Okay? And it's only if you type in that product key, which could be pre-bitted, as we call it, that you're going to have the full version of SQL Server installed. Little hint, if you're a consultant and you're out with a customer, okay, and they have the SQL Server license, and you open that box and you got the license key, but that DVD seems to be missing, use the evaluation bits and put in the product key. That's going to do exactly the same. Okay? There's no difference. It's the same bits. We're very unique on that within the Microsoft product stack. Okay? So we're getting away from this artwork, and that's why I didn't go to the artwork that they have up front as you walk into the expo area. But what I can see here is I can identify what SQL servers do I have. I can look at what instances I have. Okay, I can see what I have running. So if I have any SQL 2005s and so on running, I can identify those. How am I scanning that? I could do port scans. I could do IP range scans. I could look at Active Directory, and I could use WMI in order to get that done. Of course, I need to have the appropriate permissions to get that, and then I could continue when I'm actually ready to go and start upgrading. Okay, so let's get back to the slide deck. If there's any more questions on that map toolkit that I just showed, I'm happy to have Peter in the room here. He can answer you anything on that after the session. And before he buys me a drink. So upgrade methods and scenarios. I identified what SQL Server I have. Am I going to do an in-place upgrade? Am I going to do a side-by-side installation? Or am I going to perform a new installation? Okay? The side-by-side installation and the new installation are basically the same. Okay? Side-by-side means I have an instance. I'm going to install another instance of SQL Server with a new version, and then I'm going to move my databases over. Now, some of the things you think about when you do an upgrade. Any developers in the room? Sir, have you ever written an application that is hard-coded with a server name in the application connection string?
I hope not.
You hope not. Where are you from?
Sweden.
Okay. People in Sweden seem to write applications without fixed application strings, so let's give them an applause for that one. When I edit the video, that's going to look like I did something really cool, and that's how it's going to appear up in the deck. So I have an application that requires a server name, and my application relies on that, and redeploying the application might be an issue. Okay, that's what I'm pointing out here. If I do a new installation, what I could do is I take the existing server, I do a new installation, take that new installation of the network, rename that computer account to be exactly the same name, take the old one down and bring the new one up, and things will work. Okay? SQL 2012 handles the change of the computer name nicely. Okay? So that could be to your advantage. Now, the difference is when you do an in-place upgrade and you install the existing bits on top of the other, that's where the most challenges will occur. It's the fastest way to upgrade, but it's also the most challenging one. Because there's basically, if that thing fails, there's no rollback strategy. Okay? So the in-place upgrade, what happens? You're upgrading on the same machine and the same platform. You keep the same instance name, but here's something that I do want to throw in there that I discovered. It keeps the same instance name, but it does not keep the same instance ID. If you have applications that go to the file system based on the instance ID and do some tricky things on the file system, be cautious on that. Now, why are we doing that? What actually happens with SQL 2012, and that's different from SQL 2008 upgrades, we're really trying to minimize the downtime where we actually switch over the instance. Okay? So I have my current instance up and running. I'm going to run through my setup. It's going to start installing the 2012 bits. At some point, it's going to say, now I'm going to make the switch, take over your existing databases, and take over the instance name. In order to minimize that impact and downtime, it actually does a side-by-side behind the scenes and then flips it over. Okay? Which could be very effective. But I wanted to point that out, that instance name is the same thing. So it keeps the same instance name. It removes the old installation bit or the old instance. It installs new shared components. It's mostly automated, which means that I just told you I don't like installing SQL Server using the graphical user interface because I can install it in 2 minutes if I run it from the command prompt. So when I use that setup.exe / install equals, I could specify whether I'm going to do an installation, an uninstall, or an upgrade. Okay? There's some other options to this. It's well documented in books online, installing SQL Server from the command prompt. So you could add a node to a cluster and so on, set up a new cluster. That's all part of those options. But it also do that / install equals upgrade to replace an existing instance. Okay? That's what I like to do. Just script it out, have it running, and have a cup of coffee. So I can upgrade. I'm going to upgrade to the same or a higher edition, which means I can upgrade from an eval copy to that means I can upgrade from an eval to a full featured product, or I can upgrade from a standard edition to an enterprise edition. Okay. Now, what's the drawback of an in-place upgrade? Look at that. Hello? I thought it was a soundbar that was going to move. It's automated. You do a full upgrade, which means your system databases, your jobs, your logins, and so on, everything will retain and be sitting in the same metadata. And you're just adding functionality to that database and make modifications to it. Now, disadvantage, it's less granular. Well, it's not granular. It's an all or nothing situation. You cannot even perform a platform change. You cannot go from 32-bit to 64-bit. Okay? So you really have to stay with that. And there's no rollback strategy as I identified. But since most people in the room have databases that are less than 5 terabytes, you could literally grab a 1.5 terabyte USB hard disk out of my laptop bag, take a full system backup, and restore it in case you need to go back. Okay? So, what are you going to do? You need to have a business plan. What if it doesn't work? Okay? And actually, this business plan is kind of interesting. Okay? If work, then I can make dollars. Okay? Else, I was about to draw an arrow that says, else is going to cost me dollars. Okay? If you do an upgrade and your business plan doesn't work, it's going to cost your business money. Otherwise, it's going to make your business money. Okay, so you need to have some bright ideas to do so. So let's get an overview of the upgrade tools. We have that map toolkit that allows me to identify what to use. We also have a feature that is called SQL Server Upgrade Advisor. It's like, hey, hi, I'm your SQL advisor. I'm going to tell you on how to upgrade the SQL Server. You want me to check what's not working? I can tell you most of it. Anyone that raised their hand earlier that says, hey, I can upgrade, I did an upgrade to SQL Server, that ever used that SQL Upgrade Advisor tool? Okay, just a few hands. Okay, less than the actual amount of people in the room that did an upgrade. Okay, the ones that didn't use that tool, go to the casino, you might have a lucky day. Okay, that's exactly what I said there. Now, one of the other tools I have is I have a tool that is called RML Utils. It's one of the advanced utility tools that you could use from the command prompt that will complement the upgrade process, and we really use that in very complex upgrade scenarios. It's one of the favorite tools used by our SQL Server customer advisory team, but basically we most likely use that with just a handful of customers to do performance and application checking. It's a tool that is available for SQL 2008 R2. It's available for SQL 2012. But with SQL 2012, we have a new tool that I think is better. And part of one of the other tools that we have to assist you with performing upgrades on SQL Server. And that's what we call distributed replay. What you can do with distributed replay is you can install a new instance of SQL Server 2012 and install a distributed replay controller. That controller you could then use to capture a trace from your previous edition of SQL Server, and use that to replay against your new destinations. And the nice thing about it is you could replay it against multiple servers. If you have that luxury to, or you have the smartness to say, hey, you know what? During my upgrade process, why are we not taking that old box and run it virtual? And why don't we do any performance testing on multiple configurations, running that on Windows Server Hyper-V with different types of memory configurations or different amounts of CPU core assigned to it, and then see what the performance and the functionality of that is. Okay, so you could use that for capacity planning, and that's what we do with distributed replay. One of the things that I'm definitely going to encourage you to do by the end of the session is have a look at our SQL Server hands-on labs that are on our public portal. I'm actually writing a new version of the distributed replay hands-on lab that's going to allow you to play around with that functionality. Okay? I've been on that side of the room, sitting down as an attendee, and I realize on how important it is that you could test certain functionality when you need hands-on. Now, another tool that we're doing in relationship with one of our partners is the SQL Server Upgrade Assistant. And so SQL Server Upgrade Assistant is publicly available for download. It's free. SQL Server Upgrade Advisor ships with the product. Now, Upgrade Assistant allows you to capture a workload, and it's then going to use distributed replay in SQL 2012 to replay that workload across multiple servers. And you really use that to identify compatibility issues. Compatibility issues that go into functionality that were ashtrays in one version and that are brand new flat screen TVs in another version without an ashtray. Okay? Deprecated features, features that are no longer supported. So before we upgrade, what we're going to do is we're actually going to do an upgrade and look at the upgrade advisor. I purposely put that in as an acronym because at times you're going to look at that report and go, ooh, how does this look like? It's ugly. I didn't know that I had so many issues within my existing SQL Server, okay, before I actually do the upgrade. Okay. Now, what do you think that's going to go faster, a small database or a big one? What a question, right? That was that's what we call in presentation skills audience profiling. See what the audience says, right, when you ask them a question like that. Of course, the smaller one is going to be better. Okay. Of course, if you already implemented some of the best practices, separation of log files, don't set your database options to auto shrink. Some people do that. Okay. Looking at the database recovery model, simple, full, or bulk locked. Okay. So best practices analyzer was a tool that we had in 2005 that was actually a separate tool. Okay. The way it's implemented in 2008 and 2008 R2 is actually using policy-based management, but it's a downloadable tool that will install you those best practices. Okay? Is there anyone in the session here that has not learned anything so far? Okay, because this would be the moment where I would ask you, you shouldn't be in a session. Okay? So let's do this one, wrong button. So once that I've done that, I'm going to run dbcc check db, check my database consistency, because if your database is corrupted, you have page corruption, you have issues with it, you're going to take that with you. Okay? I'm thinking about my wife again. I'm sorry. So if you had issues, when you upgrade, you're going to take those issues with you. Okay? Now, once that I've done, what I want to do most likely as well, before I upgrade, I want to run dbcc shrink database and actually shrink it. Okay? I hear numerous times that we have a problem with shrinking the transaction log. Okay? Have you ever had that problem? Your transaction log is not shrinking and it doesn't give back the size of the transaction log. You look at it, well, I got enough space and it's not putting it back to the operating system. If you had that, Use Bing to search for it. Transaction log does not shrink. It will go to SQL Server Books Online and explain you everything on virtual log files and how it works inside a transaction log. Okay, that's one of the key reasons. Or you never took a log backup, which could be probably most likely one of the most common. Okay? So once that I've done, I'm going to backup my environment, okay? And I'm going to be smart with that backup, because if I do an in-place upgrade, the backup, yeah, I could use it for in case I need recovery, but I'm probably going to rely on that hard disk that is in my laptop bag. Okay? If I do a side-by-side, I can actually use that backup to perform the upgrade. There was someone here in the room that did an upgrade, right? Could you raise your hands again? Serge, how did you upgrade? Side by side. Now, how did you get your database over from one server to the other? You did it on the same machine? Okay, so you took a backup from the existing and you restored that on the new instance. Okay? That's one method. Okay? When you do a side by side. Another method is you detach the database on one server, you move it over, and you attach it on the other. Okay? Now it's important that you understand those two steps. There's a third one, it's called database copy wizard, which allows you to take multiple databases and move those over. Okay? That could give you some issues, but we'll have a look at that. Now, what is also important before you upgrade is document your environment. Okay? How many of you use XP underscore command shell? Okay? If you enable that feature on previous editions of SQL Server, you might want to look into functionality that gives you that in SQL 2012. Okay? If you had specific trace flags that you set on SQL Server, or you set your maximum degree of parallelism, or you set your memory configurations if you run multiple instances, you want to have those documented. Okay? A lot of times, we hear people saying, well, wait a minute, we just upgraded all of our instances from SQL 2005 to 2012, and things seem to be slower. We're going to talk about that. We're going to identify those. One of the specific customer scenarios that I can think about, well, yeah, you were running multiple instances on the same server, and when you did the upgrade, you didn't assign memory to each of the instances, so they were just using dynamic memory each, and one application was running slower than the other because you just had different instance configurations. Okay, so document that. So when we plan that upgrade, okay, I have my document checklist. I'm going to perform the actual upgrade. I'm going to validate that my upgrade is done. Okay, and I'm going to decide, am I going or not going into production with this? Okay, and actually perform that switch. Question. So the question is, I have a SQL 2005 instance. I am going to take a backup of it, then do an in-place upgrade, and then, in-place upgrade, so my instance gets updated. Okay, and then I'm going to restore from backup. Would I recommend that scenario? I would recommend that. Yeah, you can do that. Okay. You got to be careful on the login. No, the logins will still be there. Yeah. So the logins will still be there. Oh, let's get back to me for a second. The login will still be there, okay, because you did an in-place upgrade, okay? Now, there's actually some advantages to what you're suggesting, so I really like your idea, okay? And the advantage is you're going to restore from backup because you deleted those databases, right? So now you're going to restore those databases, which means your master data file and your log file is going to be recreated, okay? Which means you can reduce in size. Question? hold on, did I get that right? Did you say restoring from backup? Okay, yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, so I got it, yeah. So I did I get it right? Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is I drop my databases, it's going to give me more disk space because I have everything else sitting on backup, okay? I do my in-place upgrade is going to go faster. After I'm done, I'm going to restore from that backup, so my MDF and log file will be recreated, okay? I like that. It's a smart idea. You want to talk to your managers too? Because I will talk to them. It's a smart idea. Okay? The logins to that perspective, okay? And then the logins to that perspective, and then we're going to close on that subject. The logins, because you're doing an in-place upgrade, okay? So you're basically saying, I have a SQL Server instance running on 2005. There's no user databases. But there's logins that are still sitting on that server, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop that database. I'm going to then restore from backup. So that's an option, okay? Now let's get back to this for a second, okay? What are we going to do post-upgrade, okay? Post-upgrade, we're going to give up on the ashtrays and we're going to start drinking. We're going to use new functionality, okay? New functionality that sits hidden behind the scenes in the database engine, or new functionality that sits right in front of you with new features like always on, with the capability to have 15,000 partitions or the capability to have multiple readable secondaries, column store index, okay, or compression that you want to have enabled that you didn't have in your previous editions of SQL. Okay, so past upgrade, I'm going to run that upgrade advisor again, and that upgrade advisor is going to tell me, these are the steps that you need to do after upgrade. Okay, and we're going to look at that. I could run the best practices analyzer as well and optimize. Okay, I could run DBCC CheckDB and then decide, yep, this looks good. I'm going to perform that actual switch. Okay, I don't need to shrink the database. Okay, that's actually a typo that in my slide deck. I will update that and re-upload. Okay, but then I'll be ready to go. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to look at my upgrade advisor. And that upgraded advisor is going to tell me what I have to do. Okay? I want to show this. There was no one running SQL 2000, right? In the room, just to show you, I want to show you how it looks like. Okay? Bringing back some good memories there. This is how it looked like. I had Query Analyzer, I had Enterprise Manager. Okay? You like that, right? You still use that? Don't you love it? You know what? Try the new SQL Server tools and use those to connect to that 2000 instance. Okay? Yeah. So what I can do is, well, let's say I have a SQL 2000 and I now want to upgrade to SQL 2012. Okay? I'm sorry. That's not possible. Okay? It's like quitting smoking, right? You're still living in that age where you could smoke on the plane, and all of a sudden, you're going to say, I'm going to take a 12-hour flight. You're going to go crazy. It's not going to work. Okay? So there's no direct upgrade strategy. What we're saying is, take a shorter flight, go from 2000 to 2008, from 2008 to 2012. Okay? That gives you that one moment where you could breathe and say, hey, we have this going, now I can move to the next step. Okay? So there's no direct upgrade strategy. Okay? Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to this one. Okay? So what I already did is in this case I'm going to do an in-place upgrade. I have SQL 2012 installed. I'm going to bring that over and move that over to SQL 2012. Okay? What I'm going to look for is the instances that I identified with my map upgrade advisor and an upgrade tool. So I'm going to look at that upgrade advisor, okay, that I'm running from my 2012 instance. Okay, so I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to go to SQL Server 2012 upgrade advisor. Okay, I get a wizard. Now, I never liked wizards until I discovered the magic they do. But, okay, I'm going to hit next. What I can do is I could say, hey, which server do you want to analyze? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to analyze that remote server. Okay, they're actually really close to each other here. They're just connected by a network cable. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say I want to take that my upgrade. Okay, now here's the frustration. We think about computer name, instance name. Okay, that's not how the upgrade advisor thinks. You're first going to say what's the computer name, and it will discover the instances for you. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to specify here as well what are the components that you want to look for. Okay, that was a failed upgrade. Someone's getting a call, my upgrade failed. So I'm going to take SQL Server. I'm not going to talk about the other features because I would need to have three or four sessions. There was a session that was presented by Sven earlier this week, a winner of Speaker Idol last year, and I was actually pleased to have him landing up on my track, that talked about upgrading integration services. Okay? You have that recording, you have that deck, it's published, look at it, look on that if you want to upgrade integration services. Okay? Same thing for analysis services. I'm not going to talk about upgrading a multi-dimensional model and moving over to the tabular model. Okay? If you want that, go to the TLC Learning Center. Talk to guys like Casper or Peter Myers or Julie Strauss. They will definitely help you with that. Okay? They got their name forever in this recording. You realize that? So I'm going to install a SQL upgrade. Okay? So what I'm going to say is, analyze SQL Server, okay? I'm going to hit next, and I can list the instance names that I have running there. Now, this is my demo environment. I also have this available in the hands-on lab. I actually succeeded on installing a named instance of SQL 2005, a named instance of SQL 2008, and a 2008 R2 on the same box together with a SQL 2000. Okay? Do I get an applause for that? I'm begging for it. because use this, okay? You could go out to our virtual hands-on labs and actually use that and test those scenarios yourself when you want to do an upgrade, okay? I keep using that mouse here, so let me move it right there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, I want to look at, what do you want me to upgrade? You pick 2005 or 2008 R2 or 2008? Okay. Let's do both. We got time. Come on. Let's go for it. I'm going to take 2005, hit next, and I'm going to identify the databases that I want to analyze. I could say, analyze me all of the databases, okay? Or analyze me a set of trace files that I do have defined that I captured with SQL Profiler, or analyze me a couple of batch files that I do have in place. Now, what I'm really showing you is the practical stuff here that you have to do. My batch files are sitting on another server. I'm going to have to map a network drive. Okay? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to specify and say, hey, you know what? Get me all these databases. I'm not going to take all of them. That's going to take too long because you wanted me to upgrade 2005 and 2008. Okay? So I'm going to take a couple of these databases. Okay? And select those, and I'm also going to analyze a SQL batch file. Now I need to specify the path to that batch file. So what I'm going to do is real quick is my upgrade, and I can't type either. /C$. Okay. Well, that's not working. I did a search instead of a run. Okay. I shouldn't have done that. Okay. My upgrade. Say colon. Okay. So I got this one. I'm just going to take those files. Okay. I have a 2005 that I'm going to take. I've got a couple of files and a couple of scripts. This is actually the script I wanted to get. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to copy that script over, Okay, put that logo right in the mapping and network drive because obviously I can't type. And I'm going to put that right here. Okay. So I'm going to go back to my upgrade advisor and say that my file name that I want to upgrade, the T-SQL script that I have, is located here, and it's a SQL script. I can actually open it for you. Okay. And so what I have in there is some SQL commands that I had as part of a batch file, okay? And I have a backup log, LabDB 2005, with truncate only. How many of you use that? I guess a lot of people, right? You just truncate the log file. Or I want to backup a database to a local device, and then I'm going to use a table, create a table, do an XP underscore shell command, okay? First I take a backup, and then I'm going to run an operating system process. Okay? So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to save that. I'm not going to make any changes. I'm not going to save it. I'm going to open that file as part of my analysis. Okay. Oops. I get an error right there. Okay. The compatibility level of a database called Northwind 70. Okay. That was in the 70s, wasn't it? No, it was SQL 7. Okay. It's less than 9.0. It's not supported in Upgrade Advisor. If you run 2005 with databases that are in a previous compatibility level, what I'm saying here is you cannot upgrade those. You first need to modify the compatibility level. Okay? For the ones that just did the upgrade and were lucky, that upgrade succeeded because of that. Okay? Because you were in the right model. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to not worry about that Northwind now. I can worry about it later. So I'm going to analyze that script, okay, run this one. It's going to start the analysis, and then analysis is going to run. Now, one of the nice things that you get with Upgrade Advisor, I should ask, there was only a few hands that used it in the room, right? Upgrade Advisor? Is that a correct assessment? What Upgrade Advisor also comes with is an entire help file that's going to point out what your upgrade issues can be. Okay? And that's just worth the reading. That's the document and prepare, look on how your landscape looks like. Okay? So I have that, my analysis is running and it could go faster. And I see my network adapter is going flashing and things will go. Now, once that I've done with that analysis, I'm going to identify some things that I need to fix before I do the upgrade. I'm going to have some recommendations on things that say you could do it any time. So when are you going to do it? If it says you could do it any time? Later? Never? Yeah, I mean, my approach used to be, if you could do it any time, yeah, I'll do it at the point where it gets really critical and I need to have it. Okay? So what you're going to do there is you're going to do it after you did the upgrade or before you did the upgrade, okay? If it says any time, I would suggest you do it before. Don't wait until tomorrow, okay? It basically comes down, they're serving you a drink right now and they say, you know what, I'm going to have that drink tomorrow. Okay? So let's not do that, and we'll do it at that point. So it's analyzing, it's looking at rules, it's scanning my databases for objects, it's analyzing those objects for a lot of things that could go wrong or a lot of things that could go right, okay? How many of you use user-defined data types? Ha, there we go. You don't happen to have a user-defined data type that is named hierarchy ID or something, right? I've seen it happening in production. People say, hey, I have a certain structure, parent-child relationship within the same table. Okay, so I use a self-join. And what I actually want to identify is the hierarchy. So my column name is called hierarchy ID. Okay, which is what in SQL Server 2008-2012? It's a standard data type. Okay, so that's going to fail. If you have objects that are named the same as new functionality, you're going to basically cause yourself a lot of issues when you want to accomplish that upgrade. So what I have now is I have my analysis is complete. I can launch that report, okay? And I can see a couple of things here. After Upgrade Advisor detected that the auto-update statistics database option was set to off. Okay? Some consultant that came into my company wanted to speed things up, and he thought, oh, if I set auto-update statistics off, I'm going to solve one problem, but it cost 25 others. So I'm going to leave that, but Upgrade Advisor detects that. One of the most important things you have to do after you did an upgrade is I would suggest you rebuild your indexes. Now, I'm going to go back to the gentleman that made the smart suggestion of first dropping the indexes and so on, dropping the database and restore from backup. If you can, why would you not consider, first of all, identifying indexes that are not in use, that are never been used? Okay, so you're going to look at those, use your dynamic management views. Oh, well, this index is never used. Why would I take that with me if it's never used? I might as well just drop it. Okay? Don't migrate the garbage. Okay? I moved to a new house recently, and I moved boxes that have been sitting in the old house when we moved in there. Doesn't make sense. I'm not using them, and I'm still taking them with me to the new and the new and the new, and it's just sitting there. Okay? Because nobody ever looked in the box and see what's in there. Okay? Unfortunately, there was a couple of shirts that no longer fit me. Okay? So, same thing here. Okay? So, what else I see here, there's another option where it says, remove the backup log with no log truncate statements from the script. So, it's going to look at the scripts there and it says, you have a backup log database with truncate only. Okay? That's not going to work. It's not going to fly. Won't work. So what I can do next is I can look at all these options. It also says something like read-only databases cannot be upgraded. Okay? That Northwind 70 that I had there, which I really liked because it was such an amazing sample database, I cannot take that with me because it's in a read-only status. But it also was in a status that says it's in 7.0, so I'm not be able to take it over anyways. Okay? So it's important you're going to fix that and move that before you actually perform the upgrade. So I got that error message there. I've got the befores. I've got the advisory on some of the other issues. Okay. So if I look at those other issues that I need to be aware of, okay, you can look at the tell me more. Okay. Somehow that reminds me of a movie that my mom used to like. I can look at the deprecated features. Okay, so here are some of those features that you really need to pay attention to. Okay, historically, we moved from one database platform to the other. Functionality is no longer supported. I'm going to get rid of that. Okay, so let's hit escape on that one. So we got this one. We got that one. Before and after upgrades. I'm going to take that over, move that over. And I can look at my reports, and I actually can install multiple reports. Okay? Now, what I'm actually going to do here is see if I can do something like this. Start question. Yeah. I did provide that feedback. I didn't check that database, but it looks at the system database, and it says it's a read-only, so I cannot fully analyze. I think that's a little thing that we need to look at. It's an eye for detail. I like that. So we're going to take this one. We're going to go to Management Studio. Okay. It's going to start up. Okay. I'm going to do something like go to my upgrade SQL 2005, okay, take that one, look at my databases there. I can see that is in read-only mode, okay. Can we all see that, or do we need to zoom in on this? It's read-only, okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take those properties of that one specifically. I'm going to look at my database option. I look at it, and it says, hey, you know what? Let's put that in 2005 compatibility level prior to doing the upgrade. Let's look at the other options. Auto shrink is off. Thank you. Auto create statistics is on. Auto close is false, so that's nice. We're going to take that one. Okay, fail to because the database says read only. Okay, so I can't change that. I actually have to modify first, and that's something I wanted to point out. I actually need to modify the read-only state before I modify the options on that database, okay? Before I even run a checkDB. Okay? So I can look at this, I can look at the file, see if there's any things on the files or the file groups that I need to be careful on. Okay, and I can look at my options. Where is my option? Okay, it's this one, database read-only equals true. If I was to run profiler, you're going to see that I can actually use either SP configure command, or I could use an alter database statement command to actually modify this. Okay, so a little tricky here. Leave this because it tries to do that as a single batch. Okay, so I'll take that one there. So you'll see some error messages coming up for people that just look at the video afterwards and look at that portion. That's not an error. That's to show you the functionality and the issues you might have with that, okay? So I got this one, okay? My Northwind database is ready. So what I'm going to do next is I could actually take that as part of an upgrade. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to connect my database engine and call that connect to SQL 1, okay? I can actually, in SQL 1, go into management, and there's an option there that's just called copy database. Okay, you see that option there? I go on the management tab in Management Studio, I right-click, and it gives me an option to do copy database. So when I select that one specifically, what I do get is a copy database wizard, okay? It's not, it doesn't mean that you're lazy. It actually means that you're smart and functional because you could take multiple databases all together. Now, I'm going to connect to my source server, which is my upgrade SQL 2005. Okay. My destination service is going to be SQL Core. Okay, and it says SQL Server Agent is not running. Copy Database Wizard uses a SQL Server Agent. Okay, I'm really pointing you out some of the things that we need to do there to actually get that going. Now, here's the nice thing: if you were still stuck with Enterprise Manager, you can't really leave that window open and go to the other one. You would have to close things down. Okay, and so it was telling me that the SQL Server Agent was not running where? It is running. Why does it? Did I type something wrong there? Oh, SQL Core. Yeah, that happens if you do 25 SQL Core installations a day. Okay. So I'm not going to continue. Okay. I'm going to go SQL 1 right there. I have options. Okay. I could say use a detach and attach method to move that database over, or use SQL management objects. Now, this makes it interesting, okay? The SQL management object actually creates an SSIS package that I can modify, that I could save, and I could run afterwards, okay? So you can actually test your upgrade strategy doing so. The attach and a detach is basically saying, I detach the data files on one server, move them over to the other, okay? And then reattach them, which could make sense if your database files are sitting on a SAN because you're not physically moving them. Okay? And that's a smart thing. The less you move, the faster things will go as part of your upgrade strategy. Okay? So what I can do is, if I have an error, reattach the source database. I think that's a smart move. Okay? So if I use attach and detach, I still need to run SQL Server Agent proxy. The nice thing about the copy database wizard is I could take multiple databases at the same time, and I can decide whether I want to move and copy, move or copy. Okay? If I move, it takes them, moves them over to the other, but still leaves them attached at the original source. If I don't, and I just say, If I move, it's going to be, of course, it's going to be gone on one and moved over to the other. If I copy, I have them running next to each other, okay? It's late in the day for me as well. So I'm going to take that Northwind database. What do you want me to do, copy or move? Let's do a move. Hit next. Okay. Now, here's the nice thing about this wizard. Okay. It's going to use a detach and an attach, but it allows you to specify and look on, well, how do you want it to be attached like? Do you want to give that database a different name? Okay, so you could do that as part of your upgrade. Okay, it's going to tell me the size, it's going to tell me the status. I could hit next. It's also going to ask me, what do you want to do with logins? What do you want to do with jobs? So it's going to look at the SQL Server agent jobs that are actually parsed and enabled and point to that database. That's nice. It's not going to do magic. If you do dynamic SQL, things are going to be a bit more complex. That's why you want to analyze a trace definition using SQL Server Upgrade Advisor so you could figure things out. Question?
If you have dependencies to other databases,
if you have dependencies to other databases, you have two options. You could move the other database over as well. You could figure out what those dependencies are at first. Okay, and there's two ways to do that. You could use SQL Server Upgrade Advisor and analyze a trace file that you captured. Or you could use SQL Upgrade Assistant, which goes into the scenarios that are a bit more complex and will give you things and check out that consistency as part of it. Okay, so good question there. So I'm going to take this one, look at the logins. I'm not going to move the SSIS packages or the endpoints. I'm just going to say next here. Okay, it's going to ask me and say, hey, wait a minute. Okay, you have this folder location. And now I need to have that file shared on your source server where I can get access to those files. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to move over to that My Upgrade. Okay? I'm going to have to go into that folder, okay, where I had that upgrading from 2005 files. And I had these databases. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say, you know what? I am going to get to this folder, create a share that gives me access to it. I call that UpgradeDB. Okay, so let's share this one. There we go. So I got that one done. The share is created. One of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to that SQL 1. Okay, see if I can get access to the share. So yes, I can see the share name, okay? I called it differently, didn't I? It's the account you use on the destination that needs access to the source files. Yeah. Now, if you decide to do a, and of course you need read permission on the file. If you decide to do a move, however, you need to be able to remove, so you need to have write permissions or delete permissions to get access to that file. Okay? So I'm going to take that share. By the way, there's something that I mentioned to the Tega team in terms of setup. It's really hard for me to see people that are sitting on that side of the room. If I were a bit over 6 feet, that would not be a problem. So if you've been raising your hand and you have a question and I haven't noticed, just shout it out and I'll answer your question. Is that okay? So let's do this. I have my share that I get access to. Okay. So that's been shared out. I can see all my data files. Okay. So we're going to take that one. Which one were you taking? Did I not finish that file share? So let's take this one. Okay. I got those files. I thought I shared that out. My upgrade files. Oops, no. It looks like I didn't create that share, did I? share. The folder is already shared. Yes, shared as files. Okay. So that permission is fine. Shared as files to be sure. Okay, and I can access that share. But I don't see my files here, so that's kind of interesting. So I don't know what happened there. Let's have a look. Let's see what happens there. Okay. So I'm going to go to Copy Database Wizard, My Upgrade, Files. Next. So what it does is it's going to create you a package. Once that package is created, I can decide whether I want to save or run it. Okay. I could run it immediately. Okay. Or I could save it. So what's going to happen? The package is executing, and this is where things might go wrong. Okay. So I see my job failed and my upgrade is failing, so I need to investigate on why that fails. Might not have access to the file, might be a lot of things going on. What I wanted to point out here is that copy database wizard is not a good strategy to use. Use standard techniques to move that database over. So what you're going to do is you're going to actually take a backup of the existing one and restore that onto the destination. Okay? Or you're going to detach and attach. Okay? So what are we not using? Copy database wizard. Okay? I definitely would not recommend that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to that SQL. Northwind database. I'm going to go to tasks. Okay? Look at the properties. Look at the options. Okay? And this is why it failed. Okay? Oops. Remember I set that option to get my database out of read-only? Okay? But I did not change my compatibility level. Okay? That's why that upgrade failed. That's why that job sap failed. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that compatibility level, hit OK on that one. Okay? And actually, I can do two options here. I can now go to task, take a backup, okay? Remove this location and add. Take a backup to a new file name. And I'm actually going to put that backup onto my lab files. Okay? Call that northwind.back. Okay? So we're going to do this. Take that backup. So I have that backup. Now I'm going to move that backup over to my destination server. Make sense? So we're going to that destination server. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do my upgrade. The column. It's in my lab files. Northwind.back. And I'm using a small database to save time on my actual upgrades. Concept is the same on the other ones. So I'm going to copy that. Put that onto my C drive here. And I can actually put that into the same folder. So we're going to copy paste this one. Okay, so I have that backup there. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to go to that SQL Core, say, I want to restore database files. Okay, so the database I want to restore is coming from a device. Now, one of the nice things with SQL 2012, and actually we already had that in 2008, you could just restore from the share, so you wouldn't have to move it over. You could just use the share name to get access to that file, okay? I move it over because I think that's the best practice. You need to take it over anyways. So I'm going to add that file that is holding my backup there, okay? And I'm going to browse to that one. Take that Northwind backup, hit OK. Okay? Now, what I can do is I can look at the files, okay? And here is what you see that is very important when you do the restore. My original file location was sitting on C lab files. This would actually be a way where, on a previous version, I did not separate my log file from the data file. Now I can actually do it as part of my restore strategy. Okay? But this is also might be a dependency. If you have any batch scripts that run onto that source and you want to restore it, you actually might want to restore it that way. Okay. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to do hit OK on that one. Okay. And my restore is done successfully. Now, I used a graphical interface there, and quite honestly, I would recommend not using it because you don't know what happens. What happens is when you take an older version of SQL Server database and you restore that, it's going to upgrade that systematically to the newer version. So you will see that it will upgrade and upgrade and upgrade and assign dynamic management views, system tables, and so on as part of that upgrade process. Okay? When you do the restore in Management Studio using a restore command rather than the graphical syntax, what that's going to do is actually going to tell you. I think I could show you that. Now, so my database is now upgraded. I have my Northwind database sitting there. I'm going to do that again and say restore database. I'm going to browse to the same thing. Okay. So we're going to add that file. Okay. And pick it from there. So pick that database. I'm going to hit OK there. And what I'm going to do here is say I'm going to script that to a new query window. Okay. So I could see that restore command. I'm now going to cancel on this one, okay? So I'm kind of lazy on typing. Now, of course, that's going to fail because the database was already moved and upgraded. So what I'm going to do is delete it first, and now I'm going to run that restore command, okay? If I execute on this one, okay, you see that the percentage has progressed, and this is what I wanted to point out to you, okay? Is that running the upgrade step from version 611 to 621, sorry. And it's going to go through those upgrade steps. Okay? That's important because you have no point of return anymore. You cannot. That's the reason why you cannot take a 2008 or 2012 database and restore it on a previous edition. Okay? Now, there's a couple of things that you need to be careful with as well. Is as soon as I did that upgrade, and I'm going to hit refresh here, and look at that database options, okay? If I go on the properties of that one, you'll see that the files will be there, the grow options and so on will be there, the recovery model will be there too, okay? The compatibility mode, I upgraded it at first from 7 to 2005 to 9.0, right? What happens if I restore and that gets me into my post-upgrade tasks, that's what I have to say, hey, hold on a second here. I am now also have to change my compatibility level to take some of the advanced feature sets that I do have available. Okay? So that's a thing, guidance there. Now, there's much more to this. And we got about 10 minutes left, so let's have a look. There was people in the room that says, hey, you upgraded from 2005. I wanted to see you upgrade from 2008. And I don't want it to look bad on my evals if you guys tell me that you did an upgrade from 2008. So let's do an upgrade from 2008. Okay? How are you going to do that? I'm going to use another method. I'm going to use the detach and an attach. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to that SQL 2008 instance. Okay? And on that SQL 2008 instance, I can go to, let's say SQL 2008 R2, see what we got there. Okay? SQL 2008, sure, why not? If that instance is up and running. We'll get there. Oh, it was up and running. Just had to browse it. And browse through it here. Okay? I have a database that is slightly bigger. Okay, if we look on the properties, not the, okay, that's not the right one. I wanted to take this one. Get the same error there. That's weird. Okay, the reason I get this error message is because I'm using the wrong tool set on the actual database. So what I'm going to do is I can actually take this database and do a detach and then move it over. Now, the SQL 2012 management tool will actually allow me to do that. So I can go here and say, hey, you know what? Connect me to a database engine that is called My Upgrade SQL 2008. Okay, I can look at my databases there. I can look at these database properties. Okay, so what I'm going to do next is I can say my task is to detach that database. Okay, I'm going to detach the database, but before I detach, one of the things you do want to look at is the database properties there. And it still gets the error. That's weird. So what you're going to do there is look at the properties, look where the files are located before you actually move them over. Okay? Now, once you move those over, that's where, of course, you're going to use an attach method to actually attach them. And you're going to see that when you use that attach, things will look different. Because when you attach a database, rather than restoring from backup, it's automatically going to update your database compatibility level. Okay? So be cautious on that. Now, there's a lot of things to upgrade, and I'm pretty sure that there are going to be questions like, what do I do with database mirroring? Anyone using mirroring wants to know what happens. What's going to be the upgrade step? What are you going to do first? There's a lot of things to it. So, I did my upgrade advisor. We talked about the upgrade strategies. We talked about distributed replay and how you could replay that from one machine to the other. Okay. What else we can do is we could also slipstream the installation bits. I put that into the slide deck for references. Okay. Slipstreaming means I have an upgrade and I'm going to go to SQL 2008 R2. But rather than going to an R2 instance, installing it, and then applying service packs, SQL Server has one of the best slipstream capabilities. What you do is you download the service pack files and you extract them. And then you can actually say whether you want each of those applied or you want them just step by step or certain features that you don't want to have applied. Okay? We do that for compatibility with certain applications and so on. And the way that's done is by providing the path to the network metamodification. I actually have a blog article on that. I like SQL. That identifies on how to slipstream your installation bits, and that's definitely a recommendation that you want to consider before you do an upgrade. Now, the SQL 2012 installation is even smarter. If you install SQL 2012, you can actually say download the updates, and it uses the same process of slipstreaming. Now, upgrade scenarios. What about upgrading database mirroring? Or what about upgrading a cluster? Or what about really minimizing that downtime? What you can do is, when you upgrade database mirroring, what are you going to upgrade first? The principal or the mirror? Peter? I caught him by surprise. He was actually kind of like, now, you first upgrade the mirrors, then you fail over, you upgrade the at that point other mirrors. Okay? That is all well documented. What I didn't go through and what I kind of tried to put in some of these slides and highlighted in the session, there's actually two upgrade technical documents. Has any of you used these documents? Thank you. Have you used the one to upgrade to 2012 yet? Okay. So we did release a week and a half ago the updated version of that 450-page document. Okay. If you download the slide deck, and I think they're still uploading it onto ComNet, those squares actually have the URL in to the actual document, so you could get it from there. Now, we got a couple of minutes left. This is the last session. The only thing that actually might happen is they might kick us out because the AV people want to leave as well. I am wide open for any kind of questions. So if you have questions, let's deal with those. I understand there's people that really think it's important to start and stop sessions on time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the track resources that we have. How many people or presenters actually talk to you about this? They did? Yes, they did a good job. Microsoft Virtual Academy has a lot of recordings. The Hands-On Labs is going to take you directly to our Hands-On Labs portal in which you can start those Hands-On Labs. And I actually want to show you that because I don't think they showed you. If I click on this, okay, it goes to the SQL Server Hands-On Lab portal. One of our featured labs that we have right there, SQL Server, upgrading to SQL Server 2012. It's using exactly the same virtual machine as I used in my demo, and it's got a full Hands-On Lab manual associated with this. Okay? You don't need any kind or any form of configuration. If I hit start here, okay, whoops. If I hit start, what I'm going to get is a little ActiveX control that's going to install, and I can jump from the Hands-On Lab manual to the entire pool of virtual machines associated with it. Okay? So let me just show you that. Because this is, thanks to Mike Foti, one of our most used consumed Hands-On Labs platforms. I can imagine that after Tagit, you want to get experience with, hey, can I do my own always-on capabilities and actually go through that entire configuration step by step? So everything we have available in the Hands-On Labs here at the conference, we also have available 24 hours a day, 7x7, hosted out of a data center. Okay? The only thing you need is a computer with 4 gigs of RAM, whatever operating system, .NET framework enabled, and actually the requirements are on the portal. So what it will do is it will then, as you can see, spin up the lab environment. You have that SQL 1 and that SQL upgrade that I demoed on. They're sitting within the same domain, so I do have a domain controller. Okay, and if you have dual monitors, you have a full Hands-On Lab that's going to take you to each of those steps. So I have database using Copy Database Wizard, backup restore, post upgrade task, and so on. And as I mentioned, is we have a full series of Hands-On Labs. One of our most popular is What's New in Manageability, but also the always-on, the PowerView Lab, and everything that you wanted to play with and you didn't get to play with at this event, you have that available as well. Leaves me one more slide, and that's this one, okay? I know some of you have been using the Windows Phone Tag application. Some of you have not even logged in onto ComNet or gone to the Tagit portal. Please do so. As a track owner, I cannot tell you on how important it is to hear from you how the sessions went, how great they are. That's even more important than how bad they are at times. But we like to get all feedback from you. So if you want to spend some time completing those evals, I definitely appreciate it. With that, I think we're like close to the last 20 seconds. And as I said, I gladly answered all questions that you have. Thanks for your time. Tomorrow is the last day. I know you're going to have a wonderful party tomorrow night. So I hope you enjoyed the session. Thank you so much.